Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Today, October the 1st, we celebrate a marvelous feast day. It is the feast of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, or to give the official liturgical title to her, St. Thérèse of the Child Jesus, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. St. Thérèse has become one of the most popular saints in the Catholic calendar. Although she lived only 24 years and lived a good part of those in a cloistered Carmel. And there are some remarkable things that happened to this young woman who seemed to be dedicated to a hidden way of life. And one of the most surprising is the declaration of Pope St. John Paul II of St. Thérèse as a doctor of the Church. Now, the meaning of that title, doctor, comes from the fact that the word doctor is derived from the Latin to teach. And to have the title of doctor of the Church is to indicate that this particular person, in what he or she wrote or preached, captured the reality of the faith and presented it in such a way that is held up as an example of the profession of our faith and the living of it out. And there are great and famous names attached to that title: Thomas Aquinas, Bonaventure, St. Augustine, St. Alphonsus de Liguori. But St. Thérèse of Lisieux, it is surprising that she should have the title because of her short life and the fact that clearly she wrote only one piece of teaching, and that was her autobiography. And she wrote this only under obedience from her superiors. There are some recorded conversations that others had with her, and we know certain aspects of her life because of accounts that were given by witnesses who knew her and really were related to her as well, members of her own family. But it is that one document and the character of her life and the effect it had on other people, particularly in that monastery, that prompted the Holy Father to join her to the ranks of those great doctors of the Church. The fact that John Paul II added Therese's name to that list of the great doctors of the Church reminds me of the words of Jesus that were recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, starting with verse 25. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. And I think that in the life of St. Thérèse, short as it was, there was a profound wisdom often expressed in childlike language and sometimes with a kind of deep emotion that one reader of her autobiographical work named adolescent. Well, actually, she was an adolescent. She only lived to be 24. But there was this childlike trust in love, which allowed St. Thérèse to overcome some grave difficulties in her life, even in her life within the monastery. Thérèse referred to her choice of spiritual reality, spiritual vocation, spiritual practice as her little way. It wasn't great accomplishments as the world might define them. In fact, when she was searching about in her mind and heart for a particular vocation to which God was calling her, she first thought it was going to be to the missions, perhaps even to a martyrdom. But in fact, she realized that her vocation was to be lived out in that seclusion of the Carmel with other members of the Carmelite order, daily living with them, being affected by them, affecting them herself. And in fact, it was this discovery that allowed her to say that her particular mission, in those small details of her daily life, was to incarnate love. She was to discover the profound love of God for her, trust in it, and then reflect it to others. She was to become, as she said, simply love. And this allowed her to overcome struggles with doubts, with scruples, even with a touch of depression. It taught her to surrender to and trust in the love of God. In fact, even as she was dying and she was assailed by some doubts, her last words apparently were, "I love you, God, and I trust in you." And it was the little way that I think made her so attractive, because it indicated that this profound desire for holiness and love can actually be lived out by anyone who is prompted as she was by a search for the power and truth and love of God. In our daily lives, in our daily habits, within our families, and in a kind of curious way, her daily prayer was dedicated to simply praying for missionaries, even though she realized herself that she was not called to be one. And in fact, in a kind of surprising twist, she is now the co-patroness of missionaries, even though she spent a good portion of her life in a cloistered monastery in Normandy in France. I think part of her great popularity came from something she said as she was dying. She said she wanted to spend her life in heaven doing good on earth. And in fact, almost immediately after her death, there were many miracles recorded, miracles that were signaled by the dropping of a flower. That's why she was later called the Little Flower of Lisieux. But it's her profound teaching of that little way, her exemplification of the love of God, her magnification of it in her heart and mind, that I think made her really a teacher of the church, a doctor of the church. For as Jesus said, "Oh, Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but you have revealed them to the childlike."